that case, we'll just get right into it. Luke, the 13th chapter. Verses 3 and verse 5. We're going to look this morning at a genuine case of repentance. A genuine case of repentance. Luke 13, 3, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In the book of Acts, he also confronts us with this, that he winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. So repentance is important. Jesus came preaching repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance before him. And so repentance was important then, and it is important now as well. Look with me to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Luke chapter 23, beginning of verse number 39. And one of the malefactors is the crucifixion of Jesus between the two thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Then in Matthew, the 27th chapter, Matthew chapter 27 and beginning with verse number 39, Matthew 27 and verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, let's notice this morning all about these thieves. First of all, in verse 44 here, it says that they reviled Jesus. This thief that repented reviled Jesus. He was a reviler of Christ. And could a sinner go any deeper into sin than to be a reviler of Jesus Christ? He's under conviction. Luke 23, beginning with verse number 39. Luke 23 and verse number 39. The Bible says, And one of the malefactors, which were railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. This individual, this thief, he was under conviction for sin. And the question is, what could have convicted him? What could have brought him to this point? There had not been any preaching done. There had not been any singing. The earth had not quaked. The veil in the temple had not rent. The rocks had not split open. No miracles had been performed. The crowds were still wagging their heads and mocking Jesus, still condemning. After all, they convicted him. They put him on the cross. They were wagging their tongues. They were mocking. It must have been the prayer of Jesus praying for his prosecutors, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe that was what brought this thief under conviction. His confession in verse number 41, he said, "We indeed justly." He was convicted, and he said that it brought him to a place to where he would admit his guilt. He would admit wholeheartedly that he was a sinner, and he understood at that time that Jesus was the only one that could save him. He realized who Jesus was. You see, conviction comes first, and then the understanding, and then they realize and look to Jesus. He then justified Jesus in verse 41. He says, "This man," talking about Jesus, "hath done nothing amiss." Now his faith, verse 42, "Lord, remember me." Talk about faith. Just think about it. Yes, Abraham had great faith, but God spent 25 years teaching Abraham and instructing Abraham. But this thief instantaneously on the cross had faith, the faith that brought salvation to his soul, the faith that overwhelming. He come to realize and know and understand that Jesus was the Lamb of God, that Jesus was that sacrifice that would pay the penalty for his sins. He come to realize that he was wholeheartedly guilty, and Jesus was the only one who could save him from the condemnation of that guilt. What a confession here in verse 42. "Lord," what a Lord. Now, again, think about faith. His Lord that he put his faith and trust in was hanging on the cross, was dying the same death that the thief was going to die. And as far as loss, the other thief was concerned, he was guilty. As far as the other thief was concerned, he was getting what he deserved. The other thief was thankful that he was getting it, and he wasn't getting it himself. And yet him in that condition brought as low as one can be brought. The thief that repented, he put his faith and trust in Jesus. His prayers in verse 42, "Lord, remember me." Now notice this. He wholeheartedly put his faith and trust in Jesus as Savior, and he said, "Lord, remember me." Remember me. He recognized truly who Jesus was. He understood that the suffering he was going through was his suffering. He understood that Jesus was taking his place. He was not going to have to face that eternal punishment for being the wretched sinner that he was. He realized fully and wholeheartedly Jesus paid that and suffered that for him personally. By the way, Jesus is a personal Savior. And if you get saved, you're going to accept him as a personal Savior. You're going to take it personally. He personally was on that cross. He personally suffered for it. He personally paid the debt. He purposely redeemed me. He purposely rescued me. He purposely, me, just me, not all mankind, but just me. People have a problem trusting Jesus truly many times because he was the Savior of all mankind. Wait a minute. He has to be your personal Savior. Has to be a personal thing between you and him. If you're going to believe who he is, You're going to believe in him that way. You're going to understand that way, because that's the way the Spirit's going to bring it to you. And when it happens, or when it happened with me, I didn't realize it until after the fact. But I could see how it developed, just like with this thief. Lord, remember me. Three words. Think of the thief's former environment. He was not a churchgoer. And perhaps he never heard a sermon or a song in his life. In all probability, he never saw a miracle performed. And yet, he wholeheartedly put his faith and trust in Jesus. He wholeheartedly believed. Jesus answers his prayer in verse 43. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. His salvation, separate and distinct from all works. Separate and distinct from all works. He had no part in his salvation. All he could do was open up and be willing to let Jesus come into his heart and perform the new birth, change his life, change his eternal destiny. Separate and distinct from all ordinances. You know, religion, those ordinances, they take away sin. Listen, there's only one thing that takes away sin, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So he's the only one who can take away sin after we're saved. After we're his. It's all him. It's all in him. There's two sides here. Three crosses, but only two sides. There's two thieves. One saved and one lost. There's two results. One died praying and one died reviling Jesus. There's two destinies. One went to heaven and the other one went to hell. There's two conditions. One died in faith and one died in horror. You know what? When we read through Luke 16, we take it casually, but I'll guarantee you that rich man was horrified there. And he didn't casually speak out. I'm persuaded that he did it in terror and in horror, and he shouted out to send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. So there was two conditions. One died in faith and one died in horror. There's two souls, one happy, one sad. There's two attitudes, one of praise and one of condemnation. You know, I'm probably the world's greatest fault finder. Myself, in myself, and in others especially. And in conditions, guaranteed. But listen, that's an attitude of condemnation. Yeah. After all, who are we that we might condemn another? Who are we that we might condemn ourselves? We stand condemned already. Christ is a divider of men. Only two sides. Christ in the middle. This is a picture of those for Christ and those against Christ. And our world has not changed a bit. There are those for Christ and there are those that are against Christ. And there are those who are for Christ in different degrees. There are those who have gone all the way that are really for Christ. And then there are others that have placed conditions on their going for Christ. There are others that govern those conditions. There are others that are looking to use Christ as entertainment or as something to fulfill the flesh. You know what? Lord's churches are quickly going that way because they're going to entertainment instead of preaching the truth of Christ from the Word of God. Because we want to draw a crowd in. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a handful that really love the Lord and were sacrificing for Christ because He sacrificed for us than I would to have this building overflowing and people outside with the windows open listening to the Word. Because the word that would be going forth would be tickling the ears and satisfying the flesh and not glorifying God. They're for Christ, against Christ. Listen, those two thieves had a choice. God gave us a free will that we might make choices. And we have a choice. And those two men had a choice. One chose to turn to Christ. The other chose to continue in the way of the flesh and in its sin nature. Look at this contrast. In the morning, this thief was a criminal and condemned. In the evening, he is a child of God and saved. In the morning, he's cursing. In the evening, he's singing hallelujah. In the morning, he is called to the cross or nailed to the cross. In the evening, carried by Christ into paradise. In the morning, he's condemned by men as unfit to live. In the evening, reckoned as fit for heaven. Fit to be with Jesus. Fit to be a brother of Christ. In the morning, not an eye of pity on him. In the evening, loved by the Son of God. In the morning, in the society of thieves and an outcast. In the evening, in the arms of Jesus and on the road to heaven. In the morning, lost and on the road to hell. In the evening, saved and on the road to mansions in the skies. He said, well, I'm looking for that city. Yeah, me too, but that city is not inhabited yet. Yep. So when we die and go on, we'll go up there and be where those mansions are at in the house of God. But don't forget, the city is where we want to be. Amen. The city is where that Christ and the Father are going to dwell in the midst of that city and going to be the temple of that city. And those who dwell in the city, according to Revelation, the 21st chapter, is going to be in the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ are going to be chosen from the faithful in His New Testament churches. They're going to dwell in that city. And we ought to be looking forward to being in that city. Because the closer we can be with Him, even in heaven eternally, the better eternal life we're going to have. Now, He not only came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, down here, yes, but up there especially, there is a more abundant life in heaven. And this idea that we're all going to be the same in heaven is totally against the Bible. Why have a judgment then? Right. Why judge those that are in Christ? Why judge those that are saved? The judgment is not whether or not you're going to heaven or going to hell. That's determined here. The judgment is what rewards you're going to receive. The judgment is where you're going to dwell in eternity. It's all going to be in heaven, this new heaven and new earth. But within that, there are those saved of the nations walking in the light of that city who has 12 gates, each gate of one pearl, streets paved with gold. They're going to be those that are dwelling inside that city. And what we do or don't do here for Christ is going to determine that. Would to God, God's people who truly know Him would study the Scripture, rightly divided as we're admonished to Paul through Timothy by the Spirit. Study and search and understand and let the Bible harmonize. Let it teach what it teaches. Follow the order that God has established and set forth, and come to a knowledge of the truth and realize that so-called Christianity out here has come up with some of the craziest notions and concoctions that ever were. Go over to Revelation chapter 3, and he stands at the door and knocks. Well, he's standing at the door knocking at the heart of the lost. That's not what that verse of Scripture is talking about. He's standing at the door of a New Testament church in the seven churches of Asia there, and he's knocking on the door because they put him out. They had a better way. They had a way that seemed more right to them than his way. They didn't want to follow his order. That's our day, unfortunately, in which we live. Now, the point of it is that that thief, when he went to heaven with Jesus, they didn't knock on any door. Peter wasn't the doorman and received them. That's some more of Christianity. And most people out here are familiar with it. Well, I don't know if Peter's going to let me in or not. Peter doesn't have anything to do with letting anybody in heaven or out. Jesus has that to do. And he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you repent. Except you turn with your heart from self and sin and turn with all of your heart to Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him as that thief did. Acknowledge the condition you're in and then reach out to him and understand he's the only one who can save and can cleanse you. He's the only one that can determine whether or not you're going to get into heaven. The alternative is down below, called hell. Religion today don't want to even realize or acknowledge that. Would to God that even God's people would awake. Where do you stand this morning? Have you truly repented of your sins and exercised the faith that this thief had? He didn't have all the advantages that you and I've had. I mean, how many times have we heard about Jesus? How many times have we heard the gospel? How many times have we heard a gospel song? How many times have we been admonished or witnessed? How many times has the Spirit convicted us and we knew we needed to follow him, but we refused to? How many times? You know, it's time to change that. And the only one that can do it's you. And I'll guarantee you, that thief, you know what keeps one from doing that? Is pride of life. That thief didn't have any pride of life. He forsook it. And one who comes to Jesus must do that as well. Because you see, we have to become totally dependent upon him for the saving of our soul, for the cleansing of sin. We're totally dependent upon him. And when one gives up, when one trusts him wholeheartedly, he'll save their soul. Until that time, no matter how many times you cry out. And by the way, the crying out wasn't the important thing. That's not what got this thief saved. What got this thief saved was the change of his heart. You see? And all he did was react. Remember me. See, remember me. What's he asking? Making it personal between you and me. Make it personal between you and me. We have to make it personal between us and Jesus. We have to come to that place and that point. Now, all of those things, does that make it seem difficult? It was really easy for this thief. Really easy. Instantly, a change came when he opened his heart and when he gave up and fully trusted. Then he acknowledged who Jesus was. I mean, after all, he didn't do anything, and yet we did, and we deserve our just reward. Salvation is so simple. Because of the pride of life, men make it difficult. And you know what? Understanding the scripture is so simple and easy, but we make it difficult, even God's people. Because we go in there not to find out what he has to say, but we go in there to make it say what we want it to say, to make it agree with us. You can't do that with the Lord. You got to come, surrender it all. And that comes like this thief in an instant when the heart is trusting. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God convicted your heart, encourage you to come to Jesus. Repent of your sins by faith, trust him as Savior. Come to Jesus. Repent of the sins. This is robbing you of the joy of your salvation. Repent of your sins. That's keeping you from enjoying that more abundant life. He came that we might have life, had eternal life. But he wants it to be abundant. He wants it to be more abundant. And only we can let him. What should we sing, brother? 388. That's the key. Let Jesus. We're totally dependent upon him, and we must totally trust in him.